Good morning. You'll find in your worship folders a two-sided piece of paper for those of you that like to take notes, for those of you that like to think you're back in school at times, that you just fill in answers and they'll be revealed to you. There's no test. But, just a way of helping you out to remember some of the things that we hope to share with you this morning. As you heard earlier, Pastor Val and Pastor John and I are inviting you to join with us on a 40-day journey of prayer and fasting. Some of you are probably wondering, I don't know the first thing about fasting. Looking at me, you think I didn't. We have material available to help you understand this request, as Pastor Val has said. First of all, fasting is a spiritual discipline. In various New Testament references, Jesus said, when you fast. He did not say, if you fast. Our stomachs play a major role in our lives. And God is aware that our stomachs are a top priority. And He is telling us, there are times that I want you to fast as a reminder that I am top priority in your life. And there are different types of fasting. I'm encouraging you to choose the type of fast that you feel God is asking you to do. And on our network page, there's a lot of information on the various types of fasting. I believe that many of us will try a partial fast. And this is where you decide to give up a certain type of food for a period of time. And this, too, is mentioned in the Bible. Daniel chapter 10 instructs us that while he was a new captive, Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. The text tells us that Daniel said, I ate no choice food, no meats, no wine touched my lips. Now, the question is, what is choice foods? These are things like desserts, cakes, cookies, donuts on Sunday morning in church. Didn't say you had to give it up. It's your choice. Free will. It's things like breads and pastas. A partial fast is stop eating certain types of foods. Now, maybe a partial fast would be giving up a piece of pie and ice cream every night. To make your fast work, you need to make a sacrifice. If you don't like sardines, giving them up for the next 40 days does not count. You wouldn't eat them anyway. If I gave up Spam, it would not be a sacrifice for me. Because after today, prayerfully, I will not eat it again for another year. For some of you, giving up chocolate would be a real sacrifice. Giving up Pepsi and going to Diet Pepsi does not count. So think carefully. Choose something that is a real sacrifice to give up. And show God that He is your top priority. It is important that we also spend time in prayer with God. And so I am asking you to earnestly pray the prayer of Jabez that we find in 1 Chronicles 4:10. And I've reworded it for our church. Now, I put in here, Lord, bless Richmond Community Church. I not only want to encourage you to bless Richmond Community Church, I want you to pray that God will bless the entire Church of God movement. And to even go one step further, to bless the entire Christian kingdom. So add those words to your request. Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. Now, God has great things planned for our church. Pastor Val and Pastor John and I are excited about where we feel the church may be going. We are going to see things happen that will awe us if we are faithful to God. If we humble ourselves before God, He will not only reveal Himself to us in ways that we cannot even imagine. There's things that can happen and will happen if we just submit to God. Miracles rarely just happen. They are the work of God's constant intervention in our lives. So how can we prepare ourselves to receive one? Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, that's in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we are going to study about a man named Naaman. He was not a believer. He did not live in the Holy Lands. In fact, when it came to spiritual things, he was on the outside looking in. And our story begins in verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel?" So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hands over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." In our story, Naaman is a desperate man. He is seeking answers to an incurable problem. Naaman has leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that affects the skin. A person with leprosy does not have much of a future. It's a very painful disease, to say the least, that has serious social and physical consequences. A leper found himself alienated and ostracized from the rest of society. And all the while, his body ached from a process of deterioration that occurs from the inside out, causing arms and legs to fall off, losing fingers and not even know it. Naaman needed a miracle. He had a problem. He had a big problem. And Naaman had an issue that could not be resolved. And that is the first thing that you need to know about miracles. All of God's miracles have one thing in common. Can you tell me what that is? They all start with a problem. And Naaman had an enormously big problem in his life. Now, how many of you here this morning have a problem? You don't need to raise your hands. Maybe your problem is sitting next to you. Do not tell. Truth be told, you have problems. I've got problems. All God's children have problems. And if you have a problem, you are a candidate to receive a miracle. And all the miracles that you read about in the Bible have this one thing in common. They all start with a problem or a need. And that is the starting point for God's actions. And if you don't have any problems, then you don't need God. Naaman woke up one morning and realized that if he did not get help with his problem, it would be all over for him. He was going to lose his career. He was going to lose his family. He was going to lose his fortune. He was going to lose his position. He would live forever in isolation and alienation. So he had to do something about it. And the first thing that Naaman did about his problem was that he admitted it. Naaman was willing to look at things as they were, not for what he wished they would be. And he was willing to bring his problem into the light. Step one, admit that you have a problem. Now, for many of us, this is a very hard step to take. We do not like to admit some of our problems. We would rather pretend that the problem did not exist. We falsely think that if we do not talk about them, maybe they'll go away. And then when we are confronted with them, we have all kinds of avoidance strategies, blaming others, getting defensive, or just plain being in denial. Naaman, however, was far more realistic. He had moved beyond the denial stage. His problem was so bad that he could not escape it. It changed his appearance. It threatened his career. Who could deny it? Everyone knew that Naaman had a problem. And realizing his predicament, Naaman resolved to do something about it. Our prayer, Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. This is the second step in the process of preparing yourself to receive a miracle. First, admit you have a problem. And then two, be willing to do something about it. You see, Naaman was not only willing to admit his problem, he was willing to do some radical things to get the problem fixed. And I'm going to walk with you through some of the radical steps that Naaman took towards getting his problems resolved and receiving a miracle from God. The first thing he did was take advice from a woman. Now that is a miracle in itself. You know, it's a pretty big miracle when a man listens to a woman. Do you not? It was not his wife who told Naaman what to do. Naaman had a little Jewish girl as a servant or a captive who knew some things about God. She had some wisdom. Naaman listened to her and accepted everything she had to say. Now, this was an enormous step for a man to take in the ancient world. You probably remember that to a great extent, the ancient world was patriarchal, male-run, male-dominated. But as you know, the Bible breaks the mold when it comes to men knowing it all. Sorry to say, guys, we don't know it all. Sometimes women emerge to play a very prominent role in Scripture. So the first thing that Naaman did was to take some good advice. He was willing to listen to what others were saying, and he accepted their advice. Now, as it turned out, Naaman liked the advice that was given to him. He acted upon it. And from there, he started moving up the chain of command to secure permission to leave the country and to visit the prophet Elijah. His request made it all the way up to the commander-in-chief. It made it all the way up to the king. And when the king received Naaman's request, he jumped at the chance to have Naaman healed. Being the valuable soldier that he was, the king jumped at the chance to write a letter to advocate for Naaman. Now, do you see what we are learning here? Naaman was willing to do something about his problem. He did not give up. He was willing to take his problem to the highest authority in the land. He pulled out all stops. He did not waste any time. There was no delay. Naaman was willing to do something about his problem. And you and I have to be willing to do something about our problems. Now, some people are experts in diagnosing problems. But that's as far as it goes. They're capable of identifying problems. They're capable of defining problems. They're capable of analyzing problems. They're capable about talking about problems. Sadly, though, it doesn't go any further than that. We can say that many of us are really long on diagnosis, but extremely short on prescription. And what good is a doctor who only tells us what is wrong and does not counsel us in how to fix it? What good would my surgeon have been 3 years ago if he had just told me I had a deteriorated knee, if he had not told me about the possibility of having an artificial knee replacement? I am suggesting that we can all take some cues from Naaman. He was willing to do something about his problem, and so then he campaigned all the way up the chain of command until he gained the hearing before the king. He pleaded his case to the king. The king then made an appeal to the king of Israel. The king of Israel misunderstood what was said, but nevertheless, he allowed Naaman to enter the country. All of these things represent the extraordinary steps that Naaman was willing to take to resolve his leprosy. Naaman was willing to do everything within his power and his ability to pursue help, including sacrifice. Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. Okay, let's review. First, we have to admit that we have a problem. Then we have to be willing to do something about it. And then the third step is we have to be willing to sacrifice. Naaman's willingness to sacrifice further established the groundwork for this miracle. Naaman gathered all of his belongings, gold and silver and 10 sets of clothing and a whole entourage of people. And he set out on a journey with hopes of receiving a miracle. He spared no expense. Naaman was willing to give everything in his possession to find an answer to the problem. He was willing to pay any price necessary. He was willing to give any gift. He was willing to give any sacrifice. He would hold nothing back. Naaman laid it on the line, and we should do the same. If you want to see miracles happen in your life, be willing to sacrifice. Nothing happens except by the way of a sacrifice. Do you need a financial miracle? Be willing to sacrifice and discipline yourself. Do you need a marriage miracle? Then you have to be willing to put some other things aside in order to make your marriage a priority. It will not happen until you sacrifice something. Do you need a physical miracle? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do not just stay home and pray. Advocate for yourself. You have to take up your own cause. Go see the doctors. Track down the specialist. And yes, I know there's a price to be paid. But God is looking for some people who are willing to sacrifice. And God is looking for some people who are willing to sacrifice so that miracles can happen and the world will know that He alone is God. So often, God uses what is in our hand, if we're willing to sacrifice it. Now, hear what I am not saying. Some of you are going to walk away and say, "Yep, God helps them who helps themselves. That was the point of Pastor Frank's message." To which I'm replying, no, it is not. The point is this. God helps those who are willing to make a sacrifice. That is God's way of doing things, not our way. You see, miracles usually involve some degree of sacrifice. Naaman was willing to sacrifice. Let me give you another example. Do you remember the story of the loaves and fishes? It's the only miracle that Jesus performed, which is recorded in all four of the Gospels. That is how important that miracle was. Jesus was teaching a multitude of hungry people. Maybe they were waiting for Spanorama. It was late in the afternoon. His audience was hungry. And along comes a little boy with five loaves and two fish. Jesus said, "Give me your lunch." And the little boy willingly gave up his lunch. He did not do it begrudgingly. He did not do it with hesitation. He freely gave his lunch to the Savior. Now, did Jesus need those five loaves and two fish? No. He could have commanded manna to come down from heaven. He could have spontaneously created a huge buffet line. But Jesus didn't do it that way. He took the meager lunch that the boy had to offer and he multiplied it. God typically uses what is already in our possession. We just have to be willing to give it to him. And the key word is sacrifice. Naaman was willing to sacrifice. Are you? Now, as many of you know, sacrifices come in many ways. Naaman was put to the ultimate test. Little did he know at the time that receiving his miracle would require a different type of sacrifice. When he met up with the prophet Elijah, a messenger gave him detailed instructions about what he had to do to be healed. Elijah says, "You need to go wash in the Jordan seven times, and then you'll be cured, and your flesh will be restored." Seven times, Elijah said. The Bible tells us that Naaman became very angry. Why did he get angry? Why does anyone get angry? Answer, pride. Elijah asked him to do something that required humility. He asked Naaman, a wealthy and a prominent man, to go bathe in the Jordan. Not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times. You know, you need to know something about the Jordan River. It's not the cleanest body of water in the region. It's the drain basin for all the hills of Judea. And when people had no place to bathe, they would go bathe in the Jordan River. And it's water flowing into a larger body of water called the Dead Sea. What does that tell you? Naaman was angry because he could not see how a dirty river could cleanse him from an incurable disease. How do you get into a dirty river and come out clean? I was thinking driving across the bridge yesterday and looking down at the Willamette River. It's pretty muddy right now, and I didn't particularly want to take a bath in that. Naaman became angry. He stormed off in a huff. The Bible says that he was in a rage over the whole thing. You see, not only was God dealing with Naaman's physical disease, he was also dealing with a spiritual disease. Naaman was a very proud man who needed to learn some lessons in humility. And God was calling him to make a sacrifice far greater than just money. In fact, God did not use the money. God was calling Naaman to be a living sacrifice. Dipping in the Jordan was an act of humility. The remedy for pride is humility. And that was exactly what God was calling Naaman to do. He was being called to become a living sacrifice. After giving it some thought, and after being persuaded, Naaman did exactly what Elijah told him to do. Now, it took some time for Naaman to come around to it, but he came to his senses. He dipped his diseased body into the Jordan, not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times he took the plunge. What humility. What sacrifice. It was totally unconventional, but God used it to help Naaman in more ways than one. He received a lesson in humility. You see, Naaman was open to change. Now, for a man of his stature, to humble himself and to bathe in the River Jordan was a pretty radical departure from what he had known. But Naaman was open to change. Are you? Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. Okay, let's review. First, we have to admit that we have a problem. Then we have to be willing to do something about it. And then we have to be willing to sacrifice. And then the fourth step is we have to be open to change. When God supernaturally intervenes, everything is going to change anyway. When miracles happen, nothing stays the same. Old things pass away and new things come about. Miracles have a way of changing our habits, our attitudes, and our lifestyle. One of the changes that took place immediately for Naaman was his attitude towards worship. Naaman's whole concept of worship was dramatically changed for the better. And instead of worshiping many gods, Naaman, a total non-Jewish guy, was totally convinced that all the other worship was in vain. He proudly proclaimed that there was only one God in his life, and that God was the God of Israel. And in verse 15, Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." And later in that same conversation, Naaman offers forthcoming regrets to Elijah because he knows that back in Syria, under the king, he's going to have to stand beside a man who worships many gods. He feels convicted about that, and he wanted Elijah to know that it was not his choice. Naaman's whole attitude in worship changed dramatically. Instead of worshiping many gods, he was resolved to worship only one God. Miracles do that to us. Miracles change us. They change our attitude, and they change our lifestyle. Again, these 40 days, let's pray. Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and all the Church of God movement, and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. So in short review, admit we have a problem, be willing to do something about it, be willing to sacrifice, be open for change. And then we're ready for step five. Look for the unexpected. God performs miracles his way. He does not perform miracles in our way. Did you catch that? He does it his way, not our way. God has a miracle working agenda. It does not always work the way we think it is going to work. So you're going to have to stay on your toes. The miracle may come in a way that you never thought. The miracle would come in a way that you never thought it possible. It may come when you do not expect it. There is an element of mystery to it. Miracles are miracles for a reason. You cannot manufacture them. You can't go up to a vending machine and deposit a certain input, make a choice, and get a certain output. God is God, and we are not. And sometimes he chooses to work in a way that we never thought humanly possible. There's a sense of awe and wonder when a miracle takes place. That's why we call them miracles and not good fortune or good luck. Life is not a dice game. God is God. And if he chooses to do so, he can supernaturally intervene in the natural order of things and do a miracle. We serve a miracle-working God who works in unexpected ways. Now, I do not think that Naaman ever expected to walk away from a dirty river as a changed man. Yes, his leprosy was healed. Yes, his skin was restored. However, he was even healed of a far greater disease. His prideful nature was dealt with. God changed him from the inside out. And that was not really what he had bargained for. He had taken a fortune with him. Naaman would have gladly paid out the bucks to get a mere healing. And some scholars say that Naaman had the equivalent of $1.5 million in gold and silver with him. He was willing to give it all. But God was not interested in Naaman's money. We cannot buy a miracle. Who knows? Perhaps Naaman thought that he could. And God worked it out in a totally different way. And it didn't cost Naaman a single dime. The greatest miracle is of a changed life. And you can read the miraculous accounts of God moving in Scripture, and you will find in every case that it resulted in somebody's life being changed. In the Bible, there's a litany of miracles from the beginning to the end. Jesus performed 39 miracles that we know that are recorded. Who knows? There could have been millions or hundreds upon hundreds more. In every case, there is the miracle, and then there's the miracle behind the miracle. The real miracle is not walking on water, nor is it feeding a hungry crowd or healing a terrible disease. The miracle behind the miracle is the life change that resulted from it. God can juggle lightning bolts all day long, and he can give us a real show if he wants to. But real miracles from God have a different agenda. They bring about dramatic life change. They bring about attitude change. And you will never be the same after a God-given miracle. That is God's agenda. When God performs miracles, expect the unexpected in your lives, and it will occur. Look for the unexpected. Again, our prayer. Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and the Church of God movement and the entire Christian kingdom, and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. Now, let me wrap this up with an illustration. You know what my job is here today, besides teaching the Bible. My objective this morning is to prepare you to receive a miracle in your lifetime. I cannot guarantee them. I can give you a formula. I do not have any magic. My job and Pastor Val's job and Pastor John's job is to prepare you and to equip you. I see it this way. God wants us to move people into a miracle territory. Some of you are moving in that direction. Sadly, some of you are not. To get into the miracle territory zone, you have to be prepared, and that is the job of your pastors. Some of you have been walking humbly with God, and you've been praying like crazy, and you are in what we can call the miracle zone. And I encourage you, do not give up. Keep waiting on God to move. They who wait on the Lord shall be renewed in strength and mount up like eagles. Stay in the hot zone. Some of you are cold. You're out there in the desert somewhere, wandering around, thinking that God is never going to come. Maybe you've let pride get in the way. Can you imagine how this story might have ended if Naaman had held out his pride and stayed angry? My guess is there would have been no miracle. The good news is this. You can experience a miracle if you lay down your pride, humble yourself, and get into the river. Pride is not for God to take away. It is for us to give up. Pride is not for God to take away. It is for us to give up. And the remedy for pride is humility. Humble yourself like a child and come to God holding nothing back. Put yourself on the altar today. Become a living sacrifice. Become the real miracle that God wants to perform in you. Lord, bless Richmond Community Church. Enlarge our territory. Keep us from harm. Join us as we begin Wednesday, our 40 days of prayer and fasting. Join us today as we begin to expect a miracle at Richmond Community Church. Join us today as we pray for the next 40 days Lord, bless Richmond Community Church and enlarge our territory and keep us from harm. And if you have a little problem remembering everything I've said today, we have one final slide for you. And I propose that we look at spam in a different way. We recognize we have a struggle. We pray for it. We acknowledge God's help, and we expect a miracle.